Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson, and we have a very busy Wednesday show coming your way. We are going to talk a lot of local sports. First off, coming up tonight, the Emory Spartans will be on the road taking on the Grand Red Devils. We're going to go to Moab. We'll bring you the live play-by-play call, myself alongside Scott Labrum. We'll get that off and rolling at about 6:30 tonight. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m., tomorrow, we're going to be in Ephraim, and the USU Eastern men's basketball program will take on Snow College. That's what we're going to focus on today on the local sports front. Coach Vando with the Eagles basketball squad will join us next segment. He's going to stop by and join us in studio, so we'll get to that in just a bit. Also today on the show, I want to talk Major League Baseball. Travis, everything has kind of gone the direction of the NFL and college football and the NBA. That's the direction the national sports scene is really gravitated towards. Outside of the Pittsburgh Pirates making a couple of moves, the hot stove has been cold, to say the least.
Very quiet. Some of these players who thought they were going to cash in with big contracts, just there's nothing there. It's just a dry market right now. So some of these guys are going to have to wait.
Going to have to wait, but pitchers and catchers report in less than a month. Yeah. So time is actually running out. A couple of big names, Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta, I think they kind of headline that class. We'll talk about their potential landing spots. Arrieta and Darvish, could they both stick in the NL? I mean, Arrieta, I'm hearing that there's a possibility he could go to St. Louis. And as far as Yu Darvish, I know the Cubs are high on him. There's a chance he could stay in LA. There's also a chance he could jump to the AL and join the Yankees. I don't know what direction Darvish goes. I don't know what direction Arrieta goes, but I am a little bit surprised that here we are January 17th, and both of these guys are still free agents.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about how you win in this league with pitching. And Arrieta's a guy that if you go out and get him, he puts you close to the top where you can compete with everybody's chasing Houston now. So when Houston went out and got Gerrit Cole, that's who everybody's chasing because they're defending champs and they added pieces to get better.
We'll talk more baseball a little bit later on in the show. Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, will join us live on air to have a baseball conversation. Let's talk NBA here for a moment. Kawhi Leonard out indefinitely to rehab his quad injury. Just like at the beginning of training camp, they made the announcement today that Leonard's going to be out indefinitely as he recovers from this injury. This is bad news for San Antonio, and this is why I say it's bad news. I'm starting to look at playoff placement right now in the Western Conference. I think this is bad news for a couple of teams. First off, I don't mind the idea, if I'm a Houston Rocket fan, of seeing San Antonio in the second round. I really don't. With Houston's get-up pace, if they can maintain out of a 7-8-man rotation, I don't hate that matchup for Houston in a 7-game set. On the flip side, with Kawhi Leonard out, this tells me that San Antonio will not be a top-3 seed in the Western Conference. That means Houston will more than likely have to go up against Minnesota. I'm thinking far ahead. I'm looking all the way to April. And I hate that matchup if I'm a Rockets guy because I'm high on Minnesota. Instead, we would get Golden State and San Antonio in the second round if the Spurs hang around that 4-5 spot. Or maybe we would get Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the first round. This has long-term implications. This injury to Kawhi Leonard is going to affect the Western Conference standings drastically over the next month.
Yeah, I don't think we see Kawhi for a long time. Only played 9 games so far this year. That injury keeps lingering. And you're right, San Antonio is not going to be one of those top 4 teams. Look for them maybe 5, 6, and 7, maybe. Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, he said he missed the first 27 games of the season.
Yeah, and he's only played in 9, so, and then it's going to take him, you know, a few weeks to get back to where he should be and the shape he needs to be. So San Antonio's in a little bit of trouble.
I think they are. You know, we talk about the gold standard. In the NFL, it's hands down New England. And I see a lot of correlation between what New England has accomplished in the NFL and what the Spurs have accomplished in the NBA. I mean, really, it's similar. However, you no longer have the likes of Tim Duncan. You don't have the youthful Tony Parker or the youthful Manu Ginobili. LaMarcus Aldridge has played much better this year for San Antonio, but Kawhi Leonard is the catalyst for that team. And if he's not there, I just don't see San Antonio. I don't see them accumulating home court advantage in the first round if Kawhi is out long term. If he only plays 15 or 20 games in the regular season, I think they're probably a 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah, and they're one and done. I think that it's going to be a short exit from the playoffs for them if that's the case.
He returned to action on January 13th. Missed 3 games with a shoulder injury, played 28 minutes. Again, that's kind of been the reoccurring theme for Kawhi Leonard this season in San Antonio. That's a big story in the NBA. Out of the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers have fired Todd Haley, offensive coordinator. We talked about the Steelers in depth on Monday here on the show. And I think we agreed, and I'm sure Steeler fans agreed as well, that a change had to be made. In some sort, in some way or another, the Steelers had to make a move. They're not going to get rid of Mike Tomlin. Regardless of how upset Steeler fans were following that loss to Jacksonville, Mike Tomlin wasn't going anywhere. Instead, today, it's Todd Haley getting the axe. And by getting the axe, his contract's not renewed. Does this surprise you?
No. There's been 6 or 7 times where Ben Roethlisberger has come out and said something negative towards his offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. So I think this was just a matter of time before both parties moved on. We know Big Ben is not happy with Todd Haley's offensive coordinator. So someone has to be the scapegoat. So there you go.
Just be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
that's absolutely all I'm saying. Because when you look at what Todd Haley has accomplished with Pittsburgh, look, Ben Roethlisberger has put up career numbers with Haley as his offensive coordinator. Antonio Brown has been fantastic. We're talking about 5 straight 100-catch seasons. Okay? They've had success under Todd Haley. Tomlin's not going anywhere. Like I said, somebody, you nailed it. Somebody had to be the scapegoat. And I guess it's Todd Haley. But also, if you're a Steelers fan, you're aware of this. Or if you really follow the NFL, you're aware that he had a key role in scouting out Juju Smith-Schuster. A guy you followed throughout his entire college career. I love Juju. But several teams passed on him. And the Steelers went with him, and he was huge this year. He also had a huge role in bringing in Martavis Bryant. I think this guy can coach. He's had a lot of success as a coordinator, didn't have a whole lot of success as a head coach. But as far as the Steelers go, just be careful what you wish for. I agree. Something probably had to be done. But at the same time, you look at what Haley was able to accomplish as the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. I mean, it's a very, very deep resume. Now, you could flip that and say, okay, but look at the options. Look at the weapons that he has. Who's to say another coordinator couldn't step in and have the exact same type of success? And the fact is, it's a players' league. Roethlisberger does not like Haley. And because of that, they're going to side with the 36-year-old quarterback. Of course they are.
Yeah, of course. And easier said than done, plugging somebody in to run that offense. So, like you said, be careful what you wish for. I think it's a mistake what Pittsburgh's doing. So we'll see what happens, who they get in there to replace him. But I think Todd Haley's a great coordinator.
I think he's a good coordinator. But again, I'm not surprised. Something needed to be done. And I think Steeler fans, this settles it a little bit. This settles. They were upset Monday morning. This kind of drops that.
They have no one to blame but themselves.
Well, yeah. And Todd Haley, apparently.
And Todd Haley.
Let's take a look at the NBA schedule. Tonight, we get Washington at Charlotte, 5 o'clock hour. New Orleans at Atlanta. The Spurs will travel to meet the Brooklyn Nets. The Raptors play host to the Pistons. We get Golden State at Chicago. The Grizzlies will play host to the Knicks. We get Miami at Milwaukee. 6 o'clock on national television tonight. The Lakers, without Lonzo Ball, will travel to meet the Oklahoma City Thunder. We get the Jazz at the Kings. This game will not air tonight on KOAL. Instead, we have Emory Spartan basketball coming up. And the nightcap tonight, the Nuggets will take on the Clippers. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to be joined by Coach Vando with the USU Eastern men's basketball team. And again, we're going to talk some baseball and some more football. It's all straight ahead on this Wednesday edition of the show.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the...
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. middle of the week, and we're gearing up for some high school basketball tonight, but we do have JUCO basketball making its return tomorrow. We're going to be on the road in Ephraim as USU Eastern will take on Snow College. Very interesting matchup. USU Eastern will enter 1-1, Snow College 0-2, but they started conference playoff with CSI and Salt Lake, two games that they very easily could have won. Joining us right now to talk about the first two games of conference play and tomorrow night's matchup, we have Coach Vando with the USU Eastern basketball squad. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's always a pleasure, you know, coming over here and talk with you, Jordan.
Well, it's always fun to get you in, Coach, and there's plenty to talk about. We'll start, dive right into conference play. 1-1 in two games. Nima Namdar and Krista Torres have hit 21 combined threes. A school record was broke in both of the conference games. I was just talking about Snow College could very easily be 2-0. They're 0-2. We could very, very easily be 2-0. Instead, we're 1-1.
Well, it was crazy. You know, like these kids, you know, like combined for 21 threes. And combined, they miss just 5 shots.
Yeah.
So high percentage, you know. But you know they've been working hard. Not just you know these two kids. You know, like I think we have probably between 4 and 5 shooters that are very capable to you know night in and out. You know, go over there and make maybe you know 4, 5, 6 threes. You know, against Salt Lake, we had the game. You know, like I think you know at the end of the regulation. I think in the first overtime, you know, we had a chance to win the game, but you know, some little details that you know we didn't know how to close that game, and of course, you know, Salt Lake shot a lot of free throws, and we had 6 guys out, you know, fouled out. They took advantage and won the game, but against CNCC, like you know, I really love you know the game because you know we bounced back. You know, in a really nice way. So we play really hard defense. We push the ball really well. We shot really well, and that's the thing that I like. It you know, like the you know, we had a great week of practice. So you know, this week you know we had a great week. You know, the kids are very motivated. So now you know when we play in the conference, you know, like we talking about the big dogs. So, and then, you know, like, of course, the kids are very motivated and they want to win against, you know, this you know, like ranked teams. So I hope that, you know, we're going to have a good game against Snow. They, like you said, they're 0-2 and they got to win, you know, they play at home and then they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, you know, lose another game. So I think it's going to be a battle.
It's a huge game for Snow. It's a huge game for USU Eastern. I mean, looking at the standings, let's be real here. If you guys were to get a win on Snow, you could put them in a very difficult spot early on in the season. And this is a team that typically they'll contend for a conference championship. So you guys are in a very unique situation. If you can knock off Snow College, you guys are in a great shape moving forward.
Oh, definitely. Like, you know, we know that, you know, like we've been talking with the kids. That's we put, you know, a goal on this trip because we have Thursday Snow and Saturday CSI. And I told them, I said, guys, if we can come back from this trip and have at least, you know, 1-1, so, you know, we are in a very good position because, you know, we sat down and talked to them and, Our primary goal is protect our house. You know, we want to win, you know, as much as we can, you know, all our you know, home games. And then steal 1 and 2 here and there. And I think we can finish, you know, maybe between 2nd and 3rd, you know. Or, you know, depend on the other results.
Could win it all.
Win, you know, the conference. But we know that, you know, it's 3 rounds. You know, the teams will be really, really, you know, prepared. We will know everything that they will do and vice versa. But this particular game, you know, against the Snow, it's like you said, you know, if we win, we're going to be in a really good position. But like I said, it's not going to be easy. You know, they're not going to let us go to their place and win over there. They are going to bring, you know, everything that they have.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Vando with the USU Eastern men's basketball team. Coach, Snow College, kind of a new team. I mean, last year they were led. They had one of the top freshmen in the country in Zach Hunsaker, who's no longer there. He's moved on to the Ivy League. And from that point on, they lost a lot of sophomores. This year they're led by basically two freshman guards, Jake Walker and Logan Hokanson. Hokanson didn't play in the last contest, but Walker is averaging roughly 14 points a game. Stud guard, it seems like Coach Nielsen always finds a way to bring in a scoring guard to lead his team, and that's what they have with Walker.
I think Snow, it's a very similar, you know, team like us. You know, they have shooters that they can shoot the ball. You know, they are, and they're bigs. You know, they're athletic. Just one can score inside, but the other one, you know, he is very capable to shoot the ball too. I was talking with the head coach from Salt Lake, and he said, man, you know, like, you know, your game against Snow is going to be interesting because, you know, both of you guys can really shoot the ball. And it seems like, you know, like who's going to don't let, you know, the other team score more threes. So I think, you know, like I said, you know, we need to defend, you know, really good on the perimeter. But, you know, we know that's going to be hard because, you know, Snow does a great job to penetrate and kick for their shooters. And we need to contain that and protect our gaps and contest, you know, their three-point shot. So they play in a system that, you know, the coach over there, you know, he gave like a green light for the point guard and two, shooters. So it's kind of like a hard to scout them because, you know, they can do whatever they want. If they feel that, you know, they're with a hot hand, you know, they can – you know, just go and do whatever. So we need to be really, really disciplined, play defense, like I said, protect, you know, the gaps and contest shots and don't give them any second chance.
Coach, last year, Romain Boxes, who was a freshman, really, really changed the course of a couple of games. When we were on the road or at home, even with Snow College. He's basically the lone returning sophomore from last year's squad that made a big impact. Averaging just under 13 points a game this year. We know what he can do from the three-point line. He was like the Eagle killer last year. This guy came up with so many big shots time and time again.
Yeah, like you said, you know, last year he murdered us. Like they had, you know, like you said, you know, Hunsaker, that was a really, really good point guard. So Zach, you know, like we said, hey, let's stop Zach and try to defend another guys. But then suddenly he step up and hit some threes that kill us. And this year, as a sophomore, he have more confidence.
Yeah.
So we gotta do a better job on him because we know that he is very capable to hit some shots. But you know, like a. I talked to, you know, to our guys and I said, guys, you know, like they got to be worried about us too, because we have Chris, we have Nima, we have Milan, we have Landon. These guys can shoot the ball too.
Right.
So I think it's going to be like a chess, you know, game. So, you know, the two coaches need to move, you know, the pieces really, really well. And I think it's going to be, you know, like a high-level game, and for the fans, you know, it's going to be like a real, you know, nice game to watch.
I think so, too. If you like offense, I think you're going to see a lot of it in this game. Coach, after you guys topped Colorado, obviously there was some excitement again. Chris breaking Nima's school record, which was just set a few days ago. It held for 5 days. We talked to Chris after the game. I could just tell that there's more camaraderie this year within this group than I've seen in quite some time. It seems like they all like to be in the presence of one another. I mean, is that factual?
Yeah, no, like no question. Like this year, you know, they're enjoying to be around. You know, like they're hanging out together. They go to study hall together. They're enjoying, you know, at the gym, you know, doing some extra work. So Nima and Chris, especially, they go and, you know, do some workouts and shooting. So during practice, like, you know, they're challenging each other. Like, say, hey, man, you know, I shot in your face, so what are you going to do about it? And then Nima responded and said, yeah, you know, I did, you know, like they're challenging each other. That's the, you know, the difference between, you know, these groups. So they care about each other. So, and it was very clear at this CNCC game when Nima, you know, just play, you know, sacrifice his shots because and in detriment to pass to Chris, and Chris was with a hot hand.
Yeah.
So they're, like I said, they're enjoying themselves. They like each other. They want to, you know, win as a team. And I think that's the secret that we are competing much better this year.
Yeah, it was so refreshing to see. Nieman's coming off of a game where he scores like 34, 35 points. And he only took one shot in the first half in that game against Colorado. I mean, it was so refreshing to see. It's a pretty cohesive unit. And before I let you go, Coach, we have to talk about the post play in this game because as we go on in the season, Augie continues to just play better and better and better. And I know he's got a very tough post matchup in this game against Snow College, but man, he seems like he's up for the challenge. I mean, he is progressing really well.
Oh, yeah. So no doubt, like the kid came a long, long way. Like, you know, like he's been working so hard, you know, like he's trying to do everything that we ask him. And he can run the floor. He can score in transition. He can guard, you know, some big guys and rebounding for us. So I have just, you know, a lot of good things, you know, to say about the kid. You know, he is very engaged and really, really wants to help us in, you know, any way that he can, you know, give to us. Not just him, like when you come out, you know, say, you know, off the bench, who does, you know, a great job in Mattia, mm-hmm. is coming off the bench and give us some really nice minutes at the point guard position. So, like I said, you know, the entire group wants to win, and they know if we want to win, you know, this, we don't have like a go-to player. We don't have a guy who's going to score 50, 40s, you know, like we have to win as a team. And, you know, we gotta win, you know, work, you know, as a team. And they know that, you know, they really enjoy it and they try everything, you know, in their power to come, you know, every game and with that win.
Well, Coach, again, it's always a pleasure to get you in and talk about the team. Best of luck against Snow College tomorrow. We'll see you in Ephraim, and we'll talk to you then.
Well, thank you so much. And like I said, if you have opportunity to go to Ephraim, I think it's going to be a great game.
I do too.
For the fans, if you like 3-point shots in a, you know, transition game, I think it's going to be real, real, real good. And I'll see you over there. And thank you so much for having me one more time, Jordan.
My pleasure, Coach. And if you can't make it to Ephraim, you'll be able to listen to it right here on KOAL. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more coming up when we return. We're going to move over to talk Major League Baseball. And now that we're getting closer and closer to February, winter meetings complete, we'll talk about that and more when we return.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels. And you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to move away from the local sports front and talk Major League Baseball. It's easy to forget that we're about a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting because right now we have the whole hustle and bustle with the NFL. The NBA is now past MLK Day, and it seems like that's the second half for the casual fans, the beginning of the season. And, of course, college football is now done. Easy to forget about baseball, but we are January 17th already. Winter meetings have wrapped up, and we just don't know where a couple of big-name free agents are actually going to go. In fact, we do know the San Francisco Giants seem very intent to bring in high-priced talent that were good about 3 or 4 years ago. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our good friend Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, it's been too long since we have had you on to talk Major League Baseball, but I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, I appreciate the time as well, sir. Let's get into it.
And let's talk about it because, again, like I said, it's easy to forget about baseball this time of the year. It really is.
It is. I mean, you get caught up in the NFL stuff, and then, you know, you hear about the, you know, the Ocean's 11 type break-in of the LA Clippers locker room the other day. That becomes a storyline. So there's a lot of things going on, but to your point, we're less than 30 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and there's a lot of storylines that are starting to percolate now around the horn.
let's start by talking about the San Francisco Giants. For me, looking at this team, they maybe are better off going the route of the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates have hit the reset button. They trade Gerrit Cole. I know that Harrison's going to be moved here relatively soon. That just seems like a give me. And then they move Andrew McCutchen. I understand what Pittsburgh is doing. I do not understand what the San Francisco Giants are doing. I know that Andrew McCutchen is coming in on a contract here. I get that. I get that he's okay with making the move to right field. Yet at the same time, this move does not make the San Francisco Giants any better. In fact, it maybe even makes them worse when you take a look at the situation in the grand scheme of things, Steve.
There's so many fascinating storylines with Pittsburgh doing this, because couldn't you argue that Andrew McCutchen is as big a name and as big a brand in Pittsburgh as Giancarlo Stanton was to Miami? That can be argued. Now, the numbers are not comparable, but Andrew McCutchen is as big a name to the Pirates as Stanton was to the Marlins. Yet I don't hear as much anger and discontent from Pirates fans who seemingly are content with the idea that, yes, this is a rebuild mode for the Pittsburgh Pirates. What I don't understand is the anticipation in San Francisco for this. Andrew McCutchen hasn't hit more than 30 home runs in a single season since 2012. He's never had 100 RBIs. In a single season in his major league career, he's never had 100 RBIs. Yet, you hear people from San Francisco and you hear Giants fans talk about this like this is the greatest move that the Giants have made in the history of the Giants. And I just don't see it. You're getting an aging outfielder who clearly is telling you he doesn't want to play center field. He'd rather play right field, which is a cavern in San Francisco. So now you're getting a guy who, again, he's coming into a contract year. I understand all that. I don't want this guy on the tail end of his career. I just don't. And I think that's what you're getting with Andrew McCutchen. And if you're Pittsburgh, yeah, you lose a big name, but you're in a reset mode. We've seen this mode of operation work out before. We saw work with Houston. We saw it work with other teams, you know, dumping high-priced talent. You're kind of seeing with the Dodgers, dumping some high-priced talent, looking ahead to the future a little bit. I know we'll get into the Dodgers here in a moment. But to me, this just seems like you just wanted a big name on a roster to sell tickets and fill seats. That's great. I don't think it makes the Giants any better in the National League West.
Really, I don't either. I mean, again, he's going to join, which is definitely a new-look lineup. It's going to include Longoria. Bochy is definitely going to be relying on both of these guys to produce some runs. But the problem is Andrew McCutchen has hit, 28 home runs, 88 RBIs last season? I mean, that is it. Hasn't been an All-Star since 2015. It's a stretch. It's almost as if they're trying to do patchwork. And in the NL West, I still don't think they're better than the Diamondbacks. I don't think they're better than the Rockies. And this definitely does not even put them in the same realm as the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, in regards to the Pittsburgh Pirates, they moved on from Cole. They moved on from McCutchen. Josh Harrison says it would be better for all if he was to be moved. And I actually like Josh Harrison. I think he's got a very friendly contract as well. And you're talking about a guy that can play, that can amply play multiple positions here, Steve. I would expect Josh Harrison, based on what he is owed next season, to kind of be a hot commodity over the next couple of weeks. I could see a lot of teams calling the Pirates on Harrison.
Yeah, he's scheduled to make, I think, $10 million this year. They've got options on his contract for 2019 and 2020. He's an all-star. He plays well at both positions in the infield, second base, third base. He's played some outfield. He's a utility guy. You can move him around to different locations. And I think he's a guy who, if you're the Pirates, yeah, do you want the distraction of someone who doesn't want to be there and clearly isn't happy there? Do you want that in your roster? Do you want that in your clubhouse? No. The idea that he's a prima donna, because he's saying this, and I've heard that from people who have said, oh, you know, we don't need a guy with a prima donna attitude. Guess what? They're all millionaires. They all have prima donna attitudes. Some of them actually want to win. Some of them actually want to be on teams that are competitive, and they're willing to make a sacrifice here or there. Not all the time, not all the athletes, but there are those who do. And I mean, if you're telling me that, you know, if the idea of him moving to a better team for better possibilities is a bad thing, then you've just described every single American's desire to move up in an organization or move up in their business as being selfish. And I'm sorry, that's wrong. If that's selfish, I'm okay with selfishness. That's the same argument that was maintained when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. He wanted a chance to play on a winner. And he felt that was the best decision for him and his family. And if Josh Harrison feels that way, then by all means, let me help you out in that cause.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Steve, let's talk about some of the free agents, because I thought the last time you and I talked, I thought by the next time we had a conversation about Major League Baseball, there would be enough movement. But still, it's kind of like the hot stove. It's frozen right now. I mean, we still have names like Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta just sitting there. Kind of shocking. I know everyone is gearing up for 2019. I get that. But there are still a group of players that could help contending teams win right now. The problem is nobody wants to break the bank for these guys. And I mean, I guess it's just obvious. That's why we're kind of at a standstill at the moment.
I think there's a standstill, and I think the reason you're seeing some of these big-name teams with big-time payrolls not being very active right now is, A, I think there's a comfort level. We mentioned it a moment ago with the Andrew McCutchen deal in San Francisco not making them better than this team, that team, or this team. That move doesn't make them any closer to the L.A. Dodgers. And if looking at the Dodgers right now, okay, they acquired Scott Alexander from Kansas City. They shipped out Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir. They reacquired Matt Kemp for some ungodly reason I can't really understand. But, okay, so they did all these things, and they've got this ton of money sitting there. Meantime, the Cubs have been relatively quiet also in this offseason. They've made a few tinkering moves here or there, but they haven't gone all in on anybody. Why? Because the big prize is at the end of next season. It's next year when you have Bryce Harper out there. And there is going to be a massive bidding war between the Dodgers and the Cubs for Bryce Harper. Now, there's going to be other names that will be out there as well, but that's the coveted prize right now. He's made it very clear, much like we talked about with Josh Harrison. He's made it very clear. He's frustrated in Washington. They're not the team. They're not the organization. He wants to be on a team that's going to provide him an opportunity to win championships. Those are both the Cubs and the Dodgers, and the reason you haven't seen them make big moves is because there's no one close to them right now in their respective divisions. Nobody's catching the Dodgers. They may not be a World Series champion in 2018, but the roster that they put out there in 2017 was nine innings away, painfully as that is to admit, nine innings away from being world champions. The Cubs were one series away from being from playing in back-to-back World Series. Both of those teams are going to be just as good in 2018 as they were in 2017. So to that end, that's why you're not seeing a lot of movement from these big money teams, with the exception of the Yankees. And good for them. They went out and got themselves another 200 strikeout guy in Giancarlo Stanton. That's fantastic. They're going to hit 9,000 home runs, and they're going to lose in the playoffs like they always do. So I'm fine with that. But as far as the National League is concerned, I'm okay with where the Dodgers are, and I'm fine if you're a Cubs fan with where they are.
I also think one of the things that held the game up, the free agency game up this offseason, is the fact that the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, that was a big deal. And I saw a lot of movement. The Mariners made a move when they acquired D. Gordon in the offseason, and I thought, okay, they're actually in play to grab Ohtani because of the amount of money that they garnered in international player for an international player. There were several teams that I thought were trying to make moves to make sure they could facilitate Ohtani. And at the same time, you also had the Giancarlo Stanton deal, which we all know held up numerous signings. It held up numerous. It was kind of like the domino effect, right? We thought that once Stanton found a landing spot, all these dominoes would fall. But I think that those were two very big roadblocks this offseason, Steve.
No, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, to the point of the Giancarlo Stanton move, you know, again, the Yankees needed another name out there to either facilitate or to protect Aaron Judge in the lineup there. That was done for a very specific reason. Teams that don't have specific needs going into 2018, but know that there's going to be specific needs in 2019, are going to sit back on it. And I know earlier, before we went on the air, we were talking about, you know, the Dodgers pitching staff, and I know we're going to get there in a moment. The Ohtani move was a big roadblock for a lot of teams because a lot of teams were paying a lot of attention, and I know there's also that, you know, there was some controversy about whether or not there was some, you know, improprieties in how he was moved around from team to team, and, you know, the negotiations and the process and all that. I don't care about that. I'm wherever he wound up, good. Good luck with it. Best of luck with it. That's fine. As far as the stands thing, I think that was your big move, and now there is this stalling point where you're going to see one or two more names moved. You're going to see a couple of more players, but this is setting up for a trade deadline in August or July, and then a free agent bonanza, which is going to be so much fun to talk about as we get to the end of next season.
All right, so let me ask you this question. What happens first, and this is in regards to pitching, because you did mention the Dodgers pitching staff. Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta find homes, or the Rays finally move Chris Archer, who has been in trade rumors for the past, seems like, 3 years?
I think Darvish happens and Arrieta happens before we find out where Archer goes. And I think one and one A have to do with B. Like, if the Cardinals wind up going for Arrieta, which would be hilarious in every way imaginable, division rival, et cetera, or if Darvish winds up with the Cubs, I know that's been talked about a little bit. So I think those happen before Archer happens.
Fantastic stuff. And you mentioned the Dodgers pitching staff. If they don't bring back Yu Darvish, you and I are on opposite ends here. This team is ready to win a World Series right now. I say go out, spend, let's do this right now. You don't want anything to do with Yu Darvish. So if the Dodgers were to stay away from Darvish, are you comfortable with where this rotation is in LA right now?
Did you forget Game 7?
Don't care. He got him there. They don't get there without him. They don't get there without him.
They'll lose the World Series without him.
That's fair, too.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I remember the first five innings of games. I remember the first two innings of Game 7. They were fairly dreadful.
He was horrible in the World Series. But I also...
I understand the idea of Darvish. What I'm worried about is this. Did Darvish do too much harm to his reputation in L.A.?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. That's fair. That's fair.
You know, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily works. Now, to that end, you put one. There's one piece of the equation with L.A. that we tend to forget about, and that is there's one more offensive weapon that'll be back with the Dodgers next year. That's Andrew Tolles.
Correct.
Once you get him back into the lineup, you go back to that small ball mentality. You go back to station-to-station baseball, which is what Andrew Tolles was going to provide had he stayed healthy in 2017. And in my mind, would have put the Dodgers over the top. You could have put literally anybody on the mound in the World Series at that point. Now, does that mean Yu Darvish? If Dodger fans can overlook the absolute calamity that was Game 7, okay, yes, but I'm not banking on that guy. I can't bank on that guy doing that again, not screwing up again in Game 7 of the World Series in 2018. That's my only worry, is does he make that same mistake again? If he doesn't, and he comes back and he dedicates himself to being the same pitcher he was when the Dodgers acquired him, okay, I'm fine with that maybe. But that's a big, big stretch. And if that's not the guy, then I think you have to go out and look elsewhere for another pitcher. Because, again, I get your point. You know, Kershaw's older now. Rich Hill's older now. Alex Wood's older now. I get it. Rich Hill's one more blister away from going on the DL for 60 days. I
blister
get
boy.
That. Kershaw's back. That's always an issue.
Right.
I understand all that. Do you put Darvish out there as a safeguard? Maybe. But that's an awfully big risk.
You had to bring up Blister Boy.
Of course I do. How do you not bring up Blister Boy? That guy's a hand lotion advertisement waiting to happen.
It's almost like a major league plot, like the movie Major League, a pitcher that can't stay away from blisters.
Right.
That's what it is.
He's the guy who needs the lucky charm on his bat. He's Serrano.
Right. Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports in New Mexico. Steve, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Fox Sports, AM 1340, 93.9 FM. If you're in the Northwest New Mexico area, why wouldn't you be? You can listen live to First Sports every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Or if you're anywhere around the country, you can listen live on the iHeartRadio app through our website at foxsports1340.com. We talk national sports. We're obviously getting ready for the NFL conference championship games coming up this weekend. We are your exclusive home here in the Four Corners for the Super Bowl coming up in a couple weeks. so we'll have that going on. We also cover a variety of national sports. Jordan is a frequent guest on the show talking college football, so we appreciate all of his hard work as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM, and in addition to the Morning Drive sports talk show on weekend mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track, and again, for more information on that, go to our Twitter fan page at Fox1340AM.
Yeah, and if you didn't get all that, look, Steve's a workhorse. It's 7 days a week, right, Steve?
It is. It's 7 days a week, but it's beautiful. It's an endeavor based on love.
Definitely. That's a great way to put it. Steve, I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you again for the time. I know we'll do it again soon.
Anytime, my friend.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm going to talk college football for a moment. Florida Atlantic, which of course is led by Lane Kiffin, made the announcement of their new offensive coordinator today, and it's 24-year-old Charlie Wise Jr. Yep, son of the former Notre Dame and Kansas head coach. You know, the guy that helped Tom Brady win a couple of Super Bowls at the beginning of his career. 24-year-old Charlie Wise Jr. Now, when you hear that, what's the initial thought that comes to your head?
It's a young man.
Do you hold any, like, I don't even know, not animosity, but do you roll your eyes like, oh, boy, I wonder how he got that job? Or do you actually try to look in to see what his credentials are? I mean, immediately when you hear that it's Charlie Wise Jr., what do you think?
I try to look in and see what this guy's done before getting this job. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to see what his what's on his resume.
He's got a pretty good football resume in general. Now, remember, growing up, and I don't know how much Notre Dame football you paid attention to, but when Charlie Wise was the head coach, his son was always there with a headset on. Always. Okay, so obviously, he was learning the game of football from a very young age. Then you take a look at what he's actually accomplished. It's pretty unique. I mean, he worked for Kiffin as the offensive analyst at Alabama. Then he was a tight ends coach at Florida Atlantic. Then he was plucked by Steve Sarkisian, and he was an offensive analyst for the Atlanta Falcons. And so really, when you take a look at a resume for 24 years old, it's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good. He's been around with the Falcons, like you said, and his dad won a couple Super Bowls. So, yeah, this kid knows the game. So
you would think.
Yeah, his age shouldn't be a factor. I know a lot of people are going to be like 24 for an offensive coordinator.
Matter.
No. The kid
look at Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Look at Sean McVay. It doesn't matter.
No, the kid knows football.
Deadspin, however, wrote an article today talking about nepotism in college football, and it was actually a pretty unique article. I was talking about Jay Harbaugh at Michigan, John Richt at Miami, Sean Snyder at Kansas State, plenty of others all around the game of football. Lane Kiffin hires Charlie Wise Jr. into a position that was once held by Kendall Briles, the son of Art Briles. Nepotism in college football. It does exist, I guess. Look, Lane Kiffin fits into this mold because the reason why Lane Kiffin originally got the job that he got was because of Monty Kiffin. I'm talking about head coaching jobs. Like, okay, we can give Lane Kiffin the job, but Monty's going to come around because he's a legendary defensive coach, and that played into a factor in every head coaching job that Lane Kiffin has had up to this point. Monty Kiffin was a large reason for Lane Kiffin getting consideration.
Yeah, so it happens in football. So
it does.
So
it does.
That's just how it goes.
Unique article. I don't know if you're into Deadspin, but it was fairly unique to kind of look around and see exactly where kids are coaching under their fathers or alongside their brothers, or yeah, it definitely does exist in college football. I'm intrigued. 24 years old, Charlie Wise Jr., offensive coordinator with Lane Kiffin, who at one time was the youngest head coach in the history of the NFL. It fits. It fits.
Fits the mold of what Lane Kiffin wants to do.
Exactly. It does. It's an interesting storyline. Out of time on the show today. We are going to be back in just a couple of hours, 6:30. We are going to have the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show as the Emory Spartans take on the Grand Red Devils tonight in Moab. Myself alongside Scott Labrum will bring you the play-by-play call. Tomorrow, we'll continue on with Drive Time Sports, and of course, the local sports front will send us to Ephraim. Thank you for joining us. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.